What I'd like to do is rehearse, if you like, some of the possibilities around the idea of the still photograph in terms of it being unrhythmic. And it's part of a larger project. I've written an article recently on looking at rhythm in terms of photography. And you could contextualize it as an approach, a phenomenological or post-phenomenological approach to photography theory. Now, the fact that the still image is so endemic and proliferates in both academic and media and the everyday, I think presents a certain sort of challenge. And this particular image is one that influenced Cartier-Bresson. It's by Munkacsy. You might have seen it in the Hungarian Photographer's Exhibition. And it presents a number of challenges, both in its context as reflecting some of the time. It was important to him because it reflected some of the time he spent in Africa, and his decision to become, it influenced his decision to become a photographer. But in its representation of the other and all the implications of that, it's also challenging. And I think they're the same challenges that the still photograph presents for phenomenology: the separation of the subject, object, and so on. I wanted to start with making a sound. And then to think about whether that sound is rhythmic or not. Because in the experience of that sound, I think what it presents, both as a gesture, a sound, an experience, is an idea that it could be rhythmic. But I'd like to suggest it's, we could start with the idea of it being undecidable as to whether that is or not. So borrowing Derrida's idea of the undecidable, here at the Farmacon, for instance, the connection between poison or remedy, or there are other examples he uses. Because if we think of it not being rhythmic, because there's no other beat, there's no interval, then what we fall into is the metrical problem that I think has been very well articulated today. Of course, if we look at it in detail, I've done some work just recently with the physics department of a hospital trust, looking at radiation dissymmetry of the photography of background radiation, which brings up some of the issues around what it is to experience microrhythms and whether that's possible or not. Now, the threshold of defining a beat in particular as rhythmic, Van Leer, who wrote Philosophy of Photography, calls the difference between defining a phenomenon as part of the littoral, which in a sense is partly defined here, the shoreline, and the sign. And he provides a critique of the indexical theories of photography, which are very, that also are as much of a cornerstone as the still photograph, if you like. They're interdependent. And recent work on microtiming and rhythmic events from a project in Norway Rhythm in the Age of Digital Reproduction, brings out a similar point, which is that there's what the researchers call the vertiginous blurring that occurs in sampled, processed, and mixed rhythms that nevertheless, as well as disorientating us, provides an element of groove. And the project is based around that phenomenon. Now, if we move on. This image here by Martin Frank, who is the partner of Cartier-Bresson, I think is a very interesting example both of the still photograph and the way it's considered in ordinary terms to be commensurate to a moment. What I think is interesting about this is that this particular photograph, I think, illustrates really well the concept of the still moment, because every point in photographic time is already mapped out onto the spatio-temporal geometry, as I call it, within which its photographic space is shown. And it's done very stylistically and self-consciously. But as a lot of these theories and approaches to this, to these theories show, is that it's often very convenient to separate time from space in order to have some sort of, introduce a kind of stability into the analysis. So I'm going to attempt to keep both things in mind. And I've just rearranged those terms because spatio-temporal is also becoming quite unthought in a way. But temporospatial still can make us think about it. One of the interesting things about this image, I think, is that the weightless body is a very clever modernist trope that's played out here in terms of the geometrical photographic space, which, if we transpose this into other bodily terms, and a lot of theoretical debate about photographic space includes the architectural, then we can see how weightlessness of the quantified body, beautiful, is thus aligned to the engineered modernist trope of the cantilevered curtain walling, suspended and thus transparent, a non-weight-bearing body. And the non-weight-bearing body, or the incorporeal, or the disembodied, I think is one of the things that helps to keep the still photograph in place, that keeps the still photograph still. To move on a little, both the previous talkers mentioned work of people I very much admire. One's Messiaen and some of the work of Lefebvre, but both of those quotes fell into what I think of as a kind of naturalistic fallacy in terms of our ideas about rhythm and the way that linking rhythm to pulse with all its psychoanalytic implications also keeps us within a certain frame of the self, if you like. So in concentrating on this idea of the between that came up in Corrie's talk, I'd rather replace that or look at the notion of ambiguity and think of Deleuze's explanations of rhythm as the phenomena of the in-between, the intermilieu, as actually being more accurately an experiential possibility of ambiguity. And that's something that could be useful to a phenomenology. I'm editing in terms of time here.
You're doing fine.
10 minutes.
Yeah. A little bit after 9, maybe?
Yeah. Some of the, I think, recent difficulties of taking Deleuze on rhythm at face value, if you like, in the terms that I've mentioned, experience, the body, phenomenology, art, I think are shown by Elizabeth Gross in her book, where she thematizes territorialization, chaos, and art using Deleuze and his work, their work on the refrain. And she says a couple of things here. Vibration is the common thread or rhythm running through the universe from its chaotic, inorganic interminability to its most intimate forces of inscription on living bodies and all kinds and back again. And vibrations are oscillations, differences, movements of back and forth, contraction and dilation. They're becoming temporal of spatial movements and spatial processes. The promise of the future modelled in some ways on the rhythm and regularity of the present. And I think the difficulties here are, and it's also there on the micro rhythmic level of thinking about rhythm in energetic terms as a form of a unified kind of monad, if you like. And other to conflate time and space. And whilst we want to think them together, we don't want to, as Heidegger and others have said, kind of reinterpret one on the basis of an a priori idea of the other. So, if we're all more comfortable with an idea of an understanding of rhythm, not as a single beat but as more than one, we might have felt pulse, and we might also have felt what I think Heidegger is getting at in his term attunement, because it was very interesting in the clapping experiment that at the beginning of the day that there was a slight speeding up that took place when we focused on the particular rhythmic emphasis of the clap. And I think that slight speeding up was an indication of a certain kind of intensity. But if we focus on what might be a bit more ambiguous, where what we're hearing is two different pulses at the same time, and I'm sorry about the acoustics in here. I wasn't sure how this would work. I should have done a proper sound check. But I'll try that again and see if with a different technique, and see if we can hear what a cross rhythm presents. And that very simple example of a cross rhythm might give us the sense of what ordinary consciousness does with both pulse, self, attunement, and
rhythm as meter.
If we're to change that slightly and make it a bit more complex, another way of doing is a crossroads sound like this. And when we're listening to it, I'm interested in whether we have to focus on one or the other, both at the same time, or get an underlying pulse in order to make sense of both at the same time. If we're to think of this as a transition between a milieu from one to the other, I think some good examples are a tune I'm going to play you called Afro Blue, a brief part of it where we can hear an Afro-Cuban feel in a jazz kind of style. But this is also played by a Peruvian musician, and you'll hear a slight difference because the 6-8 has now changed slightly. To emphasize the difference, and it sounds something like this. I'm interested in how we might hear and experience rhythm in this example. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave that, but it was basically a song that used that particular rhythm that I thought was a good example. So, in terms of photography then, one of the steps we might make is beginning to think about those images which... maybe the lighting is not that good for these images in particular. But it might suggest that those either blurry images or those images that stage a kind of collapse of regular geometry allow for a different sort of experience of the rhythmic quality of the image. And then I think the question becomes, well, what takes its place? What, if we're not relying on either a naturalistic experience of the pulse in order to make sense of this rhythmic ambiguity, and we're not naturalizing the photographic space as being regularly occurring temporospatiality, then what replaces it? I'd just like to end with one bit of work that I've been looking at the contribution of Irigaray to a critique of Heidegger and Heidegger's notions of space, where she emphasizes air, both as the immaterial ground, if you like, and the pre-given of space. But it's not to suggest that this is a complete solution, because I think that by going back to the Heidegger, there are things that he talks about that do allow for a rhythmic integration of into sort of post-Descartian space, especially in his later work in Building, Dwelling, Thinking, where he talks about pervading and persisting through spaces, and I'm never here only as this encapsulated body. Because I think it's a moment in which his openness to what some people could think of as an extended mind kind of theory nevertheless emphasizes the spatial quality of Dasein, which I think is a good place from which to consider another quality of rhythm as basically being a type of intensity or texture. So on that basis, I would kind of take the Heidegger's illustration as being very useful in this project. Okay, I'll end it there.